The Eddie B. Sit edition and audio series of the Talmud Bavli.
Masechet Yomah has been dedicated in memory of Mazal Bat Esther Baghdadi and Yosef Ben Mazal Baghdadi by their family. Ruach Hashem Tanihem Began Eden. Amen. Today's daf has been dedicated by North Fork Bank and its private banking department with Gabriel Safti. Hashem Yishmerehu V'Hayehu. We would like to thank North Fork Bank and urge our listeners to patronize this generous financial institution. On a private note, we'd like to thank Mr. Gabriel Safti for his continued support for all our programs here at Daf Yomi, Torah Learning Resources, and the Torah Center. Teskele Mitzvot. Today's Daf has been dedicated in memory of Yosef ben Mazal and Shlomo Rafael ben Mazal. Ruach Hashem Tanihem Began Eden. Amen. Daf Nun Bet. Today's daf is being studied. Le'alun Nishmat Avraham Ben Esther. Ruach Hashem Tanihem Began Eden. Amen. Today's daf is being studied. Latzlachat Hayale Saval Yisrael. La'omdim Al Mishmar Arsenu on all its borders. Be'yabasha Be'aviru Bayam. Kadosh Baruch Hu should give them victory against the enemies. Sim Shalom Ba'aris and Toshave Eretz Yisrael. The residents, specifically those in the northern cities, Kadosh Baruch Hu should give them extra protection. Hinei lo yanum velo yishan, shomer Yisrael, and be'azat Hashem Yisrael eshkon labetach, u'bad esyon goel, amen ve'amen. We begin today's daf on Nun Bet, Amud Rishon, and we will start 1, 2, 3, 4 lines from the top, starting from Amar Rabbi Natan. We learned in our previous staff that in the second Beit HaMikdash they had an Amma called the Amma Teraksin, which was in between the two curtains. And the parochet that was separating between the Kodesh and the Kodesh Kodashim. So you had two curtains, and in between them you had an Amma space, and the Mishnah said that we're not certain exactly where that Amma space belongs to. Is it part of the Kodesh, or is it part of the Kodesh Kodashim? That's why they quarantined it off, so to speak, in order to protect that nobody in the Kodesh walks into the Amma Teraksin by mistake and finds himself in the Kodesh Kodashim. And for that matter, when the Kohen goes into Kodesh Kodashim, we don't want him standing in that Amma, because it might be Kodesh. So he might be standing in the wrong spot as well. So therefore, the Mishnah said, we have a Safek on what this Amma is. So the Gemara Zaman Rinatan, Amma Teraksin, Lo Hechriyu Bo Hachamim. The Hachamim did not determine what it is. E Kedifnim, E Kelachutz. Is it on the inside, Kodesh Kodashim, Ikelachutz, or is it considered on the outside? Matkif la Ravina. Ravina has a question. Maitama, what's the reason why they had this effect? Ilim amishum dechtiv. Maybe it's because they based it on the following pasuk. Ve'abayit asher bana melech Shlomo l'Hashem shishim amma orko. The house that Shlomo HaMelech built was 60 amma long. Ve'esrim rochbo. And 20 wide, ushloshim amma komato, and it was 30 amma high, uchtiv, and it says in another pasuk, varba'im ba'amma haya habayit, the bayit, the Beit HaMikdash, was 40 amma, hu ha-hechal, that was referring to the hechal, lifnai, inside, uchtiv, ולפני הדביר 20 אמה אורך ו-20 אמה רוחב ו-20 אמה קומתו. Now let's just get all the dimensions that these pasukim are giving us. The first pasuk gives you the general dimensions of the Kodesh and the Kodesh Kodashim combined. So it's a total of 60 by 20 with a height of 30. The second pasuk that's quoted over here is giving you the shi'ur of the Kodesh. The Kodesh, its distance east to west, was 40 amma. The third pasuk is giving you the shi'ur of the Kodesh Kodashim, which was 20 amma in length, going east to west. Okay, so that's the breakdown. So again, the Kodesh is 40 Amah, and the Kodesh Kodeshim is 20 Amah, obviously a subtotal of 60. Now, it's interesting just to point out before we continue, the heights over here vary. In one Pasuk it says the height was 30 Amah, another Pasuk it says it was 20 Amah. So the Mefashim point out that one is referring to the Kodesh, and one is referring to the Kodesh Kodeshim. You have to remember, in the Kodesh Kodeshim you had the Kirubim. So the Kirubim were the cherubs that hovered over the Aron, and they hovered 10 Amah. So therefore it took 10 Amah away from the height. So therefore when we talk about the height of the Kodesh Kodeshim, it's 20 Amah, less 30 less 10 of the hovering of the Kirubim. Now the Gemara says, Velo yad'inan Amah teraksin. Regarding that Amah, we don't know. Imahaneh esrim, the imahaneh arba'im. Which means, we didn't know, does it belong to the 20? Meaning, is it part of the, when you're counting the 20 of the, when you're counting the 20 of the Kodesh Kodashim, is the Amah teraksin part of the 20? Hence it would be Kodesh Kodashim. Or do you count that Amah as part of the Kodesh, meaning part of the 40. So that if that was the Safek, that's the Gemara's question. Is that the Safek? We know the dimensions. It's 20 over here and 40 over here. We just don't know this Amah. What side do you put it on? So the Gemara says, V'dilma lo mehaneh esrim, v'lo mehaneh arba'in. Who told you it's even part of either the 20 or the 40? Maybe it's neither. V'halala kahashiv, kotalim lo kahashiv. Maybe these measurements that the Torah is giving us is just on the space, but not the walls. Because again, in the first bit of the Mikdash that Shlomo HaMelech built, it was a wall. Right? So you're discussing the thickness of the wall. So who told you when you gave the shoot of 60, who told you that Amah was part of the 60? Maybe the 60 is hollow space, meaning 40 hollow east to west in the Kodesh, 20 hollow space east to west in the Kodesh Kodeshim, plus another Amah. The Gemara's Av Amira is no, maybe the Amah either is part of the 20 on the Kodesh Kodeshim or the 40. Who said it's part of it at all? Maybe it's 60 plus an extra Amah, and therefore it's not here and it's not there. And that's why we have a Safek. Which side do you attribute it to? So the Gemara says, and we'll prove it to you. Teda, meaning I will prove it to you. D'chol hecha deka hashiv, kotalim hashiv ledideh. Which means anytime we're giving measurements, we give a separate measurement for the kotalim, for the thickness of walls. Which means the thickness of walls is not usually given in the regular general measurement. So therefore it makes sense to say that this Amat Teraksin that we're talking about over here was not included in the 60. What's the proof? Ditnan. We have a Mishnah. Ha'echal. Okay, now we give the full measurement east to west of the Hechal. Okay, as we're learning it, if you want to just take a glance at your art scroll diagram, it'll be very easy for you to do it. That's on Daf 52A2, the diagram on the bottom, and we'll read it through. Ditnan, we have a Mishnah. Ha'echal me'a al-amma birum me'a. Okay, the Hechal. The Hechal is going to be from the beginning entrance of the Beit HaMikdash on the eastern side. That's right in front of the Kodesh. That space over there in front of the Kodesh is called the Ulam. Okay, so starting from there, actually there was a wall in front of the Ulam, and the Gemara is going to start from measuring from the wall of the Ulam, which we see in the picture is 5 Amot, and it's going to take us all the way to the end going west, all the way to the end of the Kodesh Kodeshim. And it's going to come out to 100 Amah long. But, yeah, starting from the outside wall, the thickness of it, on the east side, going all the way to the western wall, behind the Kodesh Kodashim, which is also 5 Amot, which we'll see, is going to come to a total of 100 Amah. Now the Gemara explains it. So again, it's Me'ah al Me'ah, Berum Me'ah. So it's 100 by 100. And the berum me'ah, the height of 100. Now the Gemara starts. Kotel ulam, the kotel, the wall, the outer wall of the ulam on the eastern side, hamish, 5 amot. The ulam itself, you want to call that the, I guess, the antechamber, achat esre. That's 11 Amah. Now, moving westward. Kotel Ha'echal, the wall in front of the Kodesh, Shish, 6 Amah. Ve'orko Arba'im Amah, as we learned. Its length was 40 Amah. Ve'amah Teraksin. Count the Amah Teraksin, so you see clearly it's separate. How much are we up to? 63. Ve'chaf Amah Bet Kodesha Kodashim, plus the 20 Amah of the Kodesh Kodashim. And then you have Kotel Ha'echal Shesh. That's right behind the Kodesh Kodashim. The wall behind the Kodesh Kodashim is 6. Vehata Shesh. Behind the Kodesh Kodashim, you had like offices. If you notice in your picture, these little juttings out of the wall are like little offices of storage and different things that took place. So the distance behind the Kodesh Kodashim wall is an additional 6. Vekotel Hata Hamesh. And the wall of these offices, that's the final wall behind the Kodesh Kodashim, is 5 Amah. Subtotal of 100. So you see, to get to 100, you're counting as well the Amah, Teraksin, meaning it's not part of the 40, and not part of the 20. The 40 and the 20, and the Amah is separate. So therefore, the Gemara is going to come along and say now, Ela Kedushateh, the question with this Amah is, how do you categorize it? You give it the Kedusha of inside or the Kedusha of outside? In the Hava Amina, we thought it was actually part of it. We thought it was either part of the Kodesh, it's the 40th Amah of the Kodesh, or it's one of the Amah of the Kodesh Kodashim. So no, it's not part of the 60. It's not part of the 60. The 60 is separate. The Amah Teraksin is on its own, as we just saw in this Mishnah. So what's the She'ela? How do you classify it in the Kedusha sense? Do you give it the Kedusha of Kodesh, or do you give it the Kedusha of Kodesh Kodashim? Hence, because of the Sefek, so you had to wall it in such a way in order to keep it secluded, in order not to make the mistakes that we're talking about. So it comes along, the Rabbanan says, V'hainu de'amar Rabbi Yohanan. And this is what Rabbi Yohanan taught, Ba'e Yosef Ish Hutzal. Rabbi Yosef, the man from Hutzal, that's a place, asked the following question on a pasuk. The pasuk is in Melachim Aleph. Udbir betoch habayit mepenima hechin letiten sham et aron berit Adonai. Now this pasuk is talking about the debir, which is the Kodesh Kodashim over here. Meaning the debir, the inside of the Kodesh, behind the Kodesh. Actually, the debir would be the Amat Teraksin, actually. The debir is the threshold, we'll call it. Very good. Beyond the threshold of the Devir, that's where they put the Aron Berit Hashem. We call that the Kodesh Kodashim. So now, he's going to have a question, how to learn Pshat in this Pasuk. Iba'yelehu. Hechi ka'amar kra. What's the Pshat over here in the Pasuk? Udbir betoch habayit mepenima hechin letiten sham. Is the Devir considered inside? Meaning you'd read the Pasuk, Udbir betoch habayit mepenima, that the Devir itself is considered penima. Penima means inside. And therefore the Amat Teraksin would have a status of Kodesh Kodashim. Meaning is the word penima also defining the Devir? That's one way to interpret the Pasuk. That would put the Amat Teraksin as Kodesh Kodashim. Or Dilma Hachikamar. Or maybe this is the Pshat of the Pasuk. Udbir betoch habayit mepenima. Which means, or do you say that the devir is betoch habayit, is in the bayit, meaning on the... No. Opposite. The first explanation is...
Thus understood, the verse indicates that the petition itself was not sanctified to the same degree as the whole of Ali.
Oh, so then you're reading like this. Okay, fine. Iba'ilu, I read again. Iba'ilu. Hechi ka'amar kra. Udbir betoch habayit. And the debir that is betoch habayit in the house, mipenima hechin letiten sham. So the first explanation they learn, you have the debir, and then you have penima, which means inside of the debir, which is a different section. Meaning in the penima, beyond the debir going west, penima, you had the Aron. That puts the Devir outside. That puts it in the Kodesh. Okay, fine. Or Dilma, or maybe the other side is Hakikamar. Udbir betoch habayit mepinima. The Devir itself is betoch habayit inside, meaning it's considered part of the Kodesh Kodashim. Let's read Rashi on this. Look at Rashi. Hechi ka'amar kra. What is the pasuk saying? Mi amrina, do you say hachi kamar udbir betoch habayit? Meaning mechisa asa. They made like a wall shemafseket betoch habayit that separates the house mipenima hechin velefnim meotam mechisa, and beyond that wall. Very good. Beyond that wall, hechin makom halala. They prepared an open space. Vizmino letecham et aron. Alma devir gufer la bikdusha parimu. Very good. That means the devir is not kedusha parim. Od dilma hagi kamar udbir betoch habayit mipenima. The makoma devir gufe meshul parimava, meaning read it together. That the devir itself is considered inside. Veoto echin ito sham veota kirisa taron. That place, that's where they put the aron. So therefore, we understand very good. Now that was the same safek that Rabbi Yosef Ishutzal had how to explain this pasuk. So comes the Gemara and says, "Umi misafkele? Did this rabbi really have a safek how to learn this pasuk? Why not? Vehatanya, we have a braita." Isi ben Yehuda Omer. Isi ben Yehuda said, "Hamesh mikraot b'Torah en lahem hechraya." There are five pesukim in the Torah that are vague, and the final interpretation of them cannot be determined. Now, what the Gemara is going to say is that it's going to list the five, and this is not going to be one of them. And we're going to say that Isi ben Yehuda and Yosef Ish Hutzal is the same man. It's the same person. So therefore, how could you tell me Yosef Ish Hutzal didn't know the interpretation of this pasuk? He left it open. It's not one of the five that he says, En lahem hechraya. Now let's see the five. No, one at a time. The first one is Se'et. The second one is Meshukadim. The third one is Mahar. The fourth one is Arur. The fifth one is Vekam. Now we have to learn each one on its own. The first one is Se'et. That's she on the top. This pasuk was said to Cain after he committed the sin of killing his brother. Actually, after his korban was not accepted, I should say. Before he killed his brother. When he brought his korban was not accepted, so Cain was very dejected. So God comes to him, and I quote the pasuk from Rashi, "Halo imtetiv se'et." Which simply could learn the pasuk that God was telling Cain, "Imtetiv, if you mend your ways and you do good, se'et." Rashi says, "Velashon slihahu, you'll be forgiven." Or se'et imlotetiv. Or you can read the pasuk like this. It says, "Halo imtetiv, comma." Se'et imlotetiv. Se'et means, according to Rashi, v'lashon nisi'ut avonu, meaning you'll carry your sin if you don't repent. So the question is, the word se'et is right in the middle. Is the se'et going on the words imtetiv, or is it going on the words after it, v'imlotetiv? And we learn it like this: imtetiv, if you do good, you mend your ways. Se'et, God says, I'll forgive you. Se'et v'lashon siliha. However, you can read the pasuk, se'et imlotetiv. You will carry your sin if you don't mend your ways. So, Isi ben Yehuda said, these are one of the pasukim where you can't determine. Well, is the se'et going in the beginning of the pasuk, or is the se'et going at the end of the pasuk? Next one, meshukadim. Rashi, arba'a gibi'im meshukadim. Talking about the cups of the menorah, that they were in the shape of almonds. So it says, Arba'a gibi'im meshukadim. Is it going on the cups? Or meshukadim kaftoreha uflacheha? Or is the word meshukadim going on the words after it? Kaftoreha, it's buttons, uflacheha, and it's flowers. Which means, was the almonds on the cups? Or is it on the kaftorim and the perachim? Again, the basic principle over here, meshukadim is right in the middle. So you don't know if it's going on what's before it, or it's going on what's after it. Next pasuk is Mahar, Rashi. God tells Moshe, "Vetze hilachem ba'amalek mahar." Tomorrow, go out and fight Amalek. Or, "Tze v'hilachem ba'amalek miyad." Or maybe it means go fight now. "U'machar anochi nitzav." Which means, and tomorrow, Anochi Nitzav, I am going to stand on the mountain and pray. Vayom iyata tzadik letfilati. which means the full pasuk. If you want to get the full pasuk, it is. Yes, Moshe Rabbeinu was talking. Yeah, let's get the Hebrew of it. Vayomer Moshe Yoshua, exactly. Behar lanu anashim vetze velachem ba'amalek behar. That can be one interpretation. Tomorrow, that's what we're going to fight. Or severim ba'amalek, period, meaning immediately. Now, mahar, tomorrow, anuchi nitzav al rosh hagevah, mateluhim biyadin. Tomorrow I go up on the mountain and pray, but today I don't have to pray. Today I just go out and fight. So again, the basic principle over here is you got the word, but you don't know is it going on before or going after. Next one is arur. Okay, this is when Yaakov Avinu was blessing his children. The pasuk says to Shimon and Devi, Arur apam ki az, right? Which simply means Yaakov was cursing their anger. Arur apam. Remember when they got angry, Shimon and Levi, and they killed the whole city of Shechem, right? Mm-hmm. So the simple explanation you might learn, Arur apam ki az, Yaakov was cursing their anger. Or, that's if you learn what's going on, what's after. Or if it's going on what it says before, it says, Ubirtsonam ikerushor. Willingly, they uprooted Ashur. Now the Ashur in this pasuk could be referring to Shechem. When they uprooted Shechem, they're calling him Ashur. Ubirtsonam ikiru Ashur Arur. Who's the Ashur Arur? Shechem. So is the Arur going back on ikiru Ashur, which is before it, or is the Arur going on their anger? Look at Rashi. Arur. Ubirtsonam ikiru Ashur. Willingly they uprooted the Ashur Arur. Shor shel Shechem. Right, that's the shore of Shechem. Shehu me'arur Kena'an. Right, Shechem is the descendant of Kena'an. And the descendant of Kena'an is Arur. Or Arur apam ki'az. Or is it going on the anger of Shimon and Levi? Last one, Vekam. The full pasuk of Vekam is, Vayomer Hashem in Moshe, God tells Moshe, Hinecha shochev im abotecha. This is right before Moshe Rabbeinu died. When you're going to die, lay rest with your fathers. Now, one way you could read it, and this nation will rise, and they're going to go after the Nechara Ares, the goyim of the land. So the Vekam is going on the end of the Pasuk. Or you could say, right, you're going to be laid to rest, but you're going to rise. The Vekam is going on Moshe, meaning you're going to be resurrected. It's going to be for you, Techayat HaMetim.
That doesn't make sense after that, though.
No, then you would read the Pasuk, Shochev Emotecha Vekam, Ha'am Hazeh V'Zana Ha'aleh Elohe Nechad Ha'ares. So, unless you learn that he just wants to know the Echreya of the Pshat of the Pasuk. Of course, the Vekam can be learned towards the end of it. But what's the Ikar Pshat of the pasuk? In any event, look at Rashi. Vekam hinecha shochev im aboteka. Vekam. The name is lo l'tchayat hametim. He ramazo, he hinted him to the resurrection of the dead. Or vekam amaze vezana. Comes the Gemara and gives the fifth one. We have a fifth one there?
That was it.
Se'et, Meshukadim, Mahar, Arur, Vekam. Okay, there's going to be a sixth one. Ve'atanya, we learned, who Yosef Ish Hutzal, the same man that we call Yosef Ish Hutzal, who Yosef HaBabli, they refer to him as sometimes Yosef HaBabli, who Isi Ben Yehuda, this is Isi Ben Yehuda, who Isi Ben Gur Aryeh, they also call them Isi Ben Gur Aryeh, who Isi Ben Gamliel, who Isi Ben Mahalalel, Uma Shemo, and what was his real name? Isi Ben Akiba Shemo. So bottom line, it's all the same man. And therefore the question of the Gemara is, how could you tell me when it came to the Pasuk of the Devir? That he was Mesupak. Is the Devir inside? Is the Devir outside? That's not one of the five Pesukim that this same rabbi said is not determined. So the Gemara says, B'deoraita leka. The five Pesukim that he quoted are all five Pesukim in the Torah. He says, five from the Torah, there's no more. B'de-de-be-e-ika. Nevi'im, you have. That Pesuk that was quoted with the Devir was in Melachim. That's from the Navi. Good, so that's the answer to the question. The Gemara says, "Ubideoraita leka." What are you telling me? There's no more pesukim in the Torah that were not determined. The aika, we have the one. The ba'er of Chizda. Is that a question? says in the pasuk, "Vayishlach et naare bnei Yisrael." It says, and Moshe Rabbeinu sent the young ones, the naarim, call them, of Yisrael. Vayalu olot, and they brought olot, they brought sacrifices. Now the pasuk stops there. Vayalu olot. So the Gemara is assuming, which animal did they use for their olot? So the Gemara says that this is not part of the pasuk. Kivasim. They must have brought kivasim, which will say sheep. Pasuk continues. Vayizbechu zivachim shelamim parim. And they brought a korban shelamim. And the pasuk, what did they bring? Parim. So therefore the pasuk is split up into two parts. Vayalu olot, period. What was the olot that they brought? Kevasim. And then, Vayizbechu zivachim shelamim parim is on the shelamim. Bulls for the shelamim, kevasim for the olot. Or dilma, or maybe read it all together. Idi v'idi parim. Meaning read the pasuk straight. Vayalu olot vayizbechu zivachim shelamim. And what was all these korbanot? Parim.
Makes sense.
Okay? Now, so the Gemara says this pasuk also has no echreya. We don't know how it's going. The vayalu olot, is it separate or is it going on the end of the pasuk? So the Gemara says leRav Chizda misafkede. Who had this problem? Rav Chizda leIshi ben Yehuda pshitale. Ishi ben Yehuda never problem with this pasuk, which is we're only discussing Ishi ben Yehuda's pesukim. So he goes, oh, there's another one of Rav Chizda. He says, what do you want? That's Rav Chizda's problem. Ishi ben Yehuda doesn't have a problem with that. Now Rashi over here has a question. Rashi says, what's the nafka mina? Meaning in all the other pesukim, it seems there's a nafka mina in the halakha. You have to know exactly some halakhic ramification comes out of it. As we have to work that out. But for sure, as she says over here, it's history. It's my dahava hava. What do I care what they brought? Did they bring a kevasim on that day? Did they bring parim? So at Matan Torah, this one. So that she tells me there is enough coming up for us to know this solution. How to do the ta'amim of the pasuk. Because if it's separate, it would say, Vayalu olot, you would put an atnah under the olot, which is like a ta'am of a pause, like a comma or a semicolon. However, if you're saying that it's all one, then you would put a different type of ta'am that keeps the pasuk flowing. So look at the Rashi when he says, Vayalu olot kevasim. Nafka mina lefsok kan et ta'am ba'atnachta. The nafkamina is going to be, do we put an atnach over there? Or dilma idi v'idi parim. If you say no, both of them are parim, ze'en atnachna betam ola. Ela ta'am gerish. Gerish was like a shofar mehupach, really. Like we would call it shofar mehupach. Vaya'alu olot. Then you continue it. Vaya'alu olot kedesh yitchaber l'shelach harav. In order to connect it with what is after it. And we move on to the next Mishnah. Now we're discussing the two curtains. According to the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda, that said there were two curtains separating the Kodesh to the Kodesh of Kodashim. So the Mishnah starts off, Achitzona, the outer curtain, Haita Pirufa min ad-darom. It was pulled back from the south. Okay, remember? According to that opinion, it went north-south, it's a curtain. At the south part, they had a hook like, and they, you know, opened it. They bent, folded it over with the hook in order that the queen can access into the southern side. Now, I perufamina darom upinimit min asafon, and the inner one was folded over on the north side. So now the Mishnah tells us how he walked in. Me'alech benehem, he walks in between the curtains ad shemegiel lasafon. Perfect. Until he walks all the way to the safon. Again, he's going to darom. Turns north, walks all the way to the darom to get to the second curtain's entry. Higia la safon. Now he walks into the Kodesh Kodashim, right? When he gets into the safon. Now, hofech panav le darom. Now he's in the Kodesh Kodashim, he turns going south, because he's got to get to the Aron. Now, let's discuss where the Aron was. The Aron was right in the middle of the Kodesh Kodashim. Okay? Now, the Kodesh Kodashim, as we learned, was 20 ammah. Okay, it's 20 amma. Now, the chidush of the Gemara Megillah was, miraculously, that the Aron, even though it had
a shi'ud of 2.5 amah, it did not take up any space. Meaning that when you put the aron in the middle of the Kodesh Kodashim and you measured to each side, it was 10 amah. It's a miracle.
To the middle the
aron, of it? Yes, it was right. To each side of it, you measured, it was 10. That means it did not take up any space. But the point is, when he's all the way now on the north, he has to walk south to get to the aron. So he turns. Right? Now, turns. You'll see now. So he's walking south to the middle, and he's following the curtain. Meaning he's walking just along the inside curtain. And that's what the Mishnah says. The Mishnah says, once he gets to the north where he entered, hofech panav ledarom, he turns to the south, me'alech lismolo im aparochet. Now, when you're standing south, the east is to your left, which is very good. It means the curtain, which is on the east of the Kohen, is to his left. Ad shumagia la'aron, until he gets to the center of the Mishkah, of the Beit HaMikdash Kodesh Kodashim, and he gets to the Aron. Okay, now, it's a machloket. What he's going to do now is bring the ketoret. It's a machloket, did he bring the ketoret from the curtain? Is that where he stood? Or did he actually walk up to the Aron and do it in between the poles? That's already...
Maybe he walked all the way to the middle of the Aron, then turned.
No. He walked from the north. He was in the north.
He went more west.
No, that's what I'm telling you. That there's a machloket if he did it right there. Just parallel to it, or did he actually walk closer? In any event, ad shu magia la'aron, hegia la'aron, okay, now he gets to the aron, noten et ha'machta ben shnei ha'badim, places the coals, the shovel of coals, between the two poles. You remember the aron had two poles on both sides. Savar et ha'ketoret al gabe ha'gehalim, then he would pile the ketoret on the coals. Of course, we had a machloket above. Did he pile it in one mound, or did he scatter it? From this Mishnah, you see it's going like the opinion of piling. Right? And then the Kodesh Kodashim became filled with smoke. Yatsa. Now, when he's leaving, ubalo bederech bet kenisato, which means he leaves the way he entered. And the Mishnah is teaching us that he did not turn his back to the Aron, but he walks backwards. So v'yotzeh, like he came in, he just traces his step backwards, and he goes out. The Mishnah concludes and says, "Umitpalel tefilat ketzara bebayit ha'chitzon." And then when he gets outside, he makes a small tefilah, velo haya ma'arich betfilato, but he did not make a long tefilah shelo lehabait et Israel. He didn't want to scare the people. The people are waiting for the Kohen to come out. Then we make a quick tefillah when he leaves the Kodesh Kodashim, and then he would exit, and then they would see him. Now let's read the Rashi's on this Mishnah. Let's read Rashi. Ha'chitzona perufa min adarom. Okay, the outer curtain is pinned back from the south. Rabbanan ka'amri, that's going to be pinned of Rabbanan, Rabbi Yehuda. Perufa, Rashi explains, rosha kefula. It's like the head of it is doubled over. That had a golden hook to keep it open. He would walk in between the curtains. Until he gets to the folding over of the northern side. And then he enters. Let's get the word there. Letoch, that would say halal, right? The airspace of the Kodesh Kodashim. Hafach panav ledarom. He then turns south. Lelech ad ben abadim, to walk into between the poles. Shem beemsa halal. That's in between the Kodesh Kodashim. Kede amar, more like we have a statement. Aron shasa Moshe ayelo avir asra amot bebet kodesh kodashim lechol ruach veruach. The aron that Moshe did had 10 amah on both sides. Miracle, it did not take up any space of its own. Me'alach lismol im aparochet. As he's walking, the parochet, which is to his east, is to his left. Whenever you're walking south, east is to your left. She'a me'alach mitzafon ledarom simolo lemizrach. Ve'aparochet hayta lo lemizrach achala leben shnei abadim. Ve'abadim hayu arukim. Now we know the badim were long ad aparochet. Roshan echad ma'arav, v'sheni lemizlach, which means the badim, they went from east-west. Echad berosh aron nasafon, v'echad berosho nadarom, v'orech amatayim v'aqetzi shel aron b'nehem. The Aron itself was 2.5, okay, width. On each side, meaning on the north and in the south, you had Badim, and the Badim went out in the Parochet. If you remember, in the... So obviously, he had
people sword.
Yes. You're gonna see. We're talking about over here the Bayit Sheni. You have to ask a more obvious question. There was no Aron in the Bayit Sheni. But before you get to how do you get by the Badim, it's not a question. They're gonna ask a stronger question. Where's the Aron in the Bayit Sheni? We know that the Bayit, after the Bayit Rishon, it was Nignaz. So therefore, the Gemara is gonna ask that question. In any event, look at the Rashi continue. Derek Kirisato, Keshem Sheniknas, Kesholek LeDarom, Adjigel Aron, Panav Klape Darom. Right, just when he walked Darom, he's facing south. Which is his face is facing the Aron, he backs away. Out of Kavod, of course, to the Shekinah, he backs away. Then it says, Bebet Aitzon Baichal, he makes a prayer in the Echal, which is the Kodesh, and then he walks out, and the Am sees him, and therefore they know that he was successful. Comes the Gemara and says, Bemai Askina. Like, which Bet HaMikdash are we talking about? That you're telling me he goes and puts the Ketoret in between the poles of the Aron. There was a wall, so it cannot be Bayit Rishon. Was there an Aron? We have a Braita. When the Aron was put into Geniza, Nignaza imos sinet haman, with it went a few other articles. One of them was the jar or the canister of man. Moshe Rabbeinu saved a jug of man from the Midbar, and they stored it in the Beit HaMikdash. The Navi tells a story in the times of Yirmiyah, when the people complained to Yirmiyah, and they said, we can't study Torah because we don't have Parnasa. So Yirmiyah took out the sinsenet haman, and he said, this is what your forefathers ate in the Midbar. They got fed from heaven and they were able to learn Torah. I mean, if you put your trust in God, what Elam can provide. In any event, at the time of the Ginizat Ha'aron, this was also Nignaz, hidden. That's the jug of the special oil that was made out of the spices, like it says in Parashat Kitisa, that was used to anoint the Kohanim as well as the Klisharet. And the staff of Aaron, a Kohen, that blossomed with its almonds and its flowers, that was after the Machloket of Korach, when all the tribes put their sticks in the oil mu'ed, and Aaron's stick the following morning blossomed. Ve'argaz sheshagru pelishtim doron l'Elohei Yisrael, and the box of gold that the Pelishtim sent to Bnei Yisrael. If you remember, the Pelishtim had captured the Aaron. After they captured the Aaron, they had some bad luck, so they wanted to send it back. So David HaMelech said, when you send it back, they wanted to send it back with an appeasement, as a gift, a peace. So David said, send it back with the Aaron. So they took that argaz, it was a box of gold in it, and they put it next to the Aron. So when there was Nignaz, they put that that gift as well. Shnei Emar, Uchli Hazahav, and the golden vessels, Asher Ashivotem Lo Asham, that you're returning as an appeasement for the Aron, Tasimu Be'argaz, David says, put it in an argaz, a box, Mitzido, next to the Aron, Veshelachtem Oto Ve'alach, good, and send it and go. So you see that when they did the Aron, they probably put the box also, because the box was right next to the Aron, like we're reading in this Pasuk. Now, Umi Ginazo, they put the Aron, they sent it back, and next to the Aron, they put this box. Yeah, so they were saying, that's it, when they were going as the Aron, they were probably going as the box that was next to it. Umi Ginazo, who was responsible for putting the Aron in Geniza? Yoshiyahu Ginazo. Yoshiyahu Melech. What did he see? Why did he see fit that it deserves to be put in Geniza? Because he saw the pasuk. Yolech Hashem. Let's get the right wording. Yolech Hashem otecha ve'et malkecha asher takim alecha ilgoy asher lo yadarta ata ba'avotecha. He saw the pasuk prophesies that the Jewish king and the nation are going to be sent into exile. Amad v'genazo. So already he saw that the future was written in the Torah already. So therefore, to protect the Aaron, so he put it in Gerizah, in order that when the enemies come in, they will not take it. Comes the Gemara and says, Shne'emar, now we see Yoshia did this. Vayomer lalviyim hamivinim lechol Yisrael kedoshim laHashem, tenu et Aaron haKodesh babayit asher banah Shlomo ben David melech Yisrael. אין לכם מסע בכתף אתה עבדו את השם ולכם את עמו ישראל. That's the full pasuk, which means they would tell him, go to the Beit HaMikdash that Shlomo built and go put it there. Meaning Shlomo, when he built the Beit HaMikdash, he built a special provision in the Kodesh Kodashim. It was like a, I guess a trap door somewhere, in order that when the Beit is going to be destroyed, the place where they'll be able to put it in Gerizah. So Yoshia said, go and take the Aron and go hide it in that spot that Shlomo HaMelech did. There's no more carrying the Aron, obviously. We don't carry it anymore. Now, Rabbi Elazar said, Rabbi Elazar said, Rabbi Elazar said, Rabbi Elazar said, Atya Shama Shama. Now, we only know about the Aron. Now, what the Gemara is going to do is, it's going to prove to us, how do you know the Sinat Haman, how do you know the Shemin HaMishcha, and all the other items. So basically what the Gemara is going to do, it's going to make Gezerah Shavaz on all these items. So let's read all these Pesukim. The first one is, Shama, Shama. It says by the Aaron, Asher Ivaed Lecha Shama. And it says by the Sinat Haman, Veten Shama Meloah Omer. Shama, Shama, just like by the Aaron, it was in Gerizah, so too by Sinat Haman. Ve'atya Dorot Dorot. We had the Gezerah Shava Dorot Dorot. We learned Sinat Haman. We learned to the Shluchit HaShemen, which means by the Sinat Haman it says Lemishmeret LeDorotechem, and by the Shluchit Shemen, by the jug of oil, it says Mishchat Kodesh Yezeli LeDorotechem. So you have Dorot Dorot include the Shemen HaMishcha. Ve'atya Mishmeret Mishmeret. We have a Gezerah Mishmeret Mishmeret. Why? Because it says by the Sinsenet Taman LeMishmeret LeDorotechem. And it also says by the stick of Aaron LeMishmeret LeOt LeBnei Meri. It'll be a Mishmeret put in safekeeping for the rebels. Furthermore, so the Gemara, so that's basically the Gemara says, where was the Aaron? Back to the question. You're telling me he walked into the Kodesh Kodeshim and he walks to the south, to the Aaron, Ben Abadim, hold it.
There's nothing there.
So comes the Gemara and says, Le'olam b'mikdash sheni. Really, I'll tell you, we're talking about the second Beit HaMikdash. Uma yigi al Aaron. And what do we mean when we say he got to the Aaron? Mekom ha'aron. It just means the place where the Aaron was. The Gemara says, what are you talking about? V'haketari natan et ha-machta leben shnei abadim. It says in the Mishnah, he places the machta between the two poles. If you tell me it's virtual over here, but what does the Mishnah mean when it says ben abadim? So the Gemara says, ema keben shnei abadim. Don't read it between the two poles, but it's as if between the two poles. Imagine if it was there. Gemara continues. Savar et haketoret al gabe gehalim. Then what did the Kohen do? He piles the ketoret on the coals. Tenan, our Mishnah is following the opinion. Keman damar tzovra. Good. We learned that one of the opinions was that they piled it, and one of the opinions was they scattered it. So obviously, our Mishnah is following the opinion of piling. Now, the last question of the Gemara is going to be, in which position did he pile? Meaning, did he pile the ketoret, when did he place the ketoret, starting where he is, going forward, or did he go, extend his hands towards the west, and come back towards him? Again, when he's piling, is he going away from him? Or is he going towards him? The Sfatim asked this question. That's the way that she understands the question. The Gemara, that's not piling. That's following the opinion of
scattering.
So let's start. The Gemara says like this. Tani Hada, we have one statement. Sovra penima shehi chutzalo. You start to pile it, penima, inside the Kodesh Kodeshim, towards the west, which is away from him, coming towards him. V'tanya idach, and we have another braita, tzovra chutza, that you do it on the outside, shi pinim alo, which is towards him. So therefore the second explanation was you start from what?
The opposite.
Opposite again? Okay, let's read Rashi then. No, let's read Rashi. Let's read Rashi. Three lines on the bottom. I read Rashi inside. Tani Hada. See three lines? Sovra penima shi chutzalo. Matqil let sovra birosh machta shil sad penim. You start piling it on the front of the machta. Okay? She'oto rosh ha-machta eno letzad yado. That is far from him. Ve'olech u'moshech yado elav. And it comes towards him. That's exactly what we said. I mean, again, you start from the inside, the Kodesh Kodashim, to west, going east towards him. Continue Rashi. Ve'tsovel tamid b'meshicha ad rosh ha-machta sheni asher etzel bet yada. Good. Ve'tanya ida, continue Rashi. Matchil letzob berosh ha-pone chutza letzad ha-echal. Meaning it starts from him. From the Hekal side, she penim alo, which is inside to him, betzad gufot his body, and he just goes away from him. So that's the shayla, really, the Gemara. Comes going on and says, Amar Abaye, Amar Abaye, Tanei. Abaye says, okay, what are you going to say? It's a mahaluk at Tanei. Amar Abaye, Mistavra, Kemand Amar, penima, she chutzalo. It makes sense that he starts away from him and comes towards him. Why? Because we have a Mishnah, melamidim oto. They would warn the Kohen, or they would teach the Kohen, hizaher, be careful, shelo tatchil mipanecha. Don't start putting the ketoret close to you. Shem mitikaveh, because you'll burn yourself. Very logical. When he starts by himself and starts to extend his hands, now his hands over the smoke. He'll burn himself. But if you're starting away from you, so as the smoke goes up, your hands are extending away from the fire. So therefore it makes sense from a practical standpoint that he doesn't burn himself, that he doesn't start from him towards forward, but he starts away from him, coming towards him. Look at the top Rashi. Shelo tatchil mepanecha letzbor didecha ala, to start piling it and go forward. Shema tekaveh sheketoret shetzavata letzidecha, because the ketoret that you started putting on the coals by you, bo'eret tamid v'zruacha mitpashet v'olech, and your extended arms holech le'alan nekveh, they're going to get burnt b'timur ha'oleh, with the smoke that is rising. Baruch Adonai Le'olam. Amen v'amen.